Welcome to How to Eat Less Water, the podcast for anyone who's concerned about the state of our environment and wants to live more sustainably, but is short on either time, money, ideas, or all three. I'm your host, Florencia Ramirez, author of the award-winning book Eat Less Water and a kitchen activist. Every Monday and Wednesday, I share bite-sized action steps anyone can implement in their kitchen. Why the kitchen? The average person eats between 500 to 1,300 gallons of virtual water every day. Our food is the best place to turn our hope for a better environment into action. Want to receive 10 tips to eat less water for your summer parties? Go to eatlesswater.com to download the free list. Now, let's dig in and grow well-being together. Welcome to the How to Eat Less Water podcast. I'm Florencia Ramirez, your host. I'm always inviting you to send questions because this podcast is about being of service to anyone who's looking to live more sustainably in their life and especially in their kitchens. I am getting questions. So thank you for sending questions. And I have Alana McCoy here with me, who is a team member, my only team member. And she's phenomenal. And I'm really excited you get to hear her voice because she's doing so many wonderful things in the food space, in food equity space. And she thankfully is helping me to grow what I'm doing. And I couldn't do this podcast without her and her brilliant ideas. And she's also been digging into living more sustainably for a long time. So she also brings in expertise, some really good ideas. So I'm really grateful to have her here. And Alana, why don't you introduce yourself and maybe how people can reach you if they want to work with you as well.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be a voice on this podcast and to be a part of such a great team. I refer to myself mostly as a digital strategist for social enterprise or nonprofits, but really I focus on supporting entrepreneurs who do what I like to call cause work, where you have a cause, a passion that is focused on growing well-being, focused on creating more sustainable lifestyles, impacting communities, promoting change. And so I'm grateful to be here with Eat Less Water and to be on the podcast. And you can reach me or find me on Instagram at The Territory Shop. You can always just drop me a DM if you're interested on learning more about how we can work together.
And I will put that in the show notes as well, so you can link to your Instagram page. And just so you know, we're covering both coasts. I'm on the Pacific Coast, and she's on the Atlantic Coast. So we're bridging all of it together in between. So we have some questions. The format and the idea is the last episode of every month, we will have a Eat Less Water Q&A. So if you have any questions, about any of this, you can absolutely send an email to info@eatlesswater.com and I'll answer it for you in an episode.
So the first question is, I want to start eating more sustainably, but I have a limited food budget. Where can I start?
I love this question because I'm actually going to save you money. The best way to eat less water and to eat more sustainably is by wasting less food, right? Because we waste, I've said this statistic, we waste a family of four about $1,800 a year. That's $18,000 in a 10-year period. But as I talked about in the last episode, we throw away in our kitchens 43% of the food that comes into our kitchens, 43%. And that waste is mostly coming from our refrigerators. So the best thing you can do if you have a limited budget, begin by wasting less. And then with those extra dollars, then you could start to hit some of those products that are higher up on the food chain, any animal protein, those have the highest water footprint and the highest environmental impact. So our dairies, for example, any meats, those things have the most impact. So you could first really focus on how can I waste less food in my kitchen, a shopping list, meal planning, shopping your kitchen first, keeping your refrigerator organized so that you know if you have, say, milk or some buttermilk or, you know, some things already in your refrigerator. And then making sure that you, before you start to plan what you're going to cook, to look to see what you have in the refrigerator and see, oh, wait, I have all of this produce that I need to use, or I still have this amount of meat or chicken, or wow, I got a lot of eggs, I've got to use those. Incorporating those ingredients into your menu plan. And then from there, keeping that refrigerator organized, have a system in place. So I would really recommend going to the last episode because I do have some good systems. I start to talk about, for example, labels and containers, like those things that sound frivolous make huge impacts. And those incremental changes will make an impact on the larger environment and growing well-being, but also your own well-being as an individual, because they're connected. When we do good things, it feels good for us too. There's no separation between the two. So that's the best, really focus on wasting less food. And over the next few weeks, I will have more and more tips on the things that I'm doing to waste less food. Alana, what are some things that you do to waste less food in your house, in your kitchen?
One of the big things I do in my kitchen is every week I try to go through my produce bin, because sometimes my own internal thought process is like, this will be good for a week. I can cook this on another day. And then by the time I actually get to it, that bag of lettuce up, going straight into the trash can. And I think that's like, you know, I've seen memes around the internet. It's like, got to buy that bag of spring mix to throw away. And so I try to regularly, because I know I keep produce on hand, I try to regularly check my produce bin. Sometimes there's half a cucumber or, you know, half an avocado that's like kind of gets shifted down to the bottom. And so I can prevent wasting, especially in the produce, which definitely has that weird shelf life. Once you get it out of the grocery store into your car, it's like time is ticking.
Yeah.
So I try to check my produce bin weekly, if not multiple times a week, because things just get shifted down to the bottom. And then I'm like, oh, I think I have this. And when I go to get it, it's usually wilted or sometimes like down to the juice of the vegetable. So that is how I try to be mindful of what I already have on hand so that I can eat it before it goes bad.
We waste 70% of produce, 70%. Yeah. So that meme is right on. Like, let me buy that spring mix so I can throw it away is not far from the truth, but we can all do better.
The next question is, should I buy in bulk?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question because it's not a straight answer. It depends of whether or not you should buy in bulk. So when I've gone to, for example, Costco, I guess that would be the place most people are buying in bulk. And I see how they sell. There's more organic food that's sold at Costco, which is great, including some fair trade certified foods as well. The Costco, too, is a big proponent of a certification called Equitable Food Initiative, which works with farmers and farm workers around the country and in Mexico and Canada to foster well-being, really, from the land to the people. And so I really like that initiative that they are standing behind. So a lot of the food that you see at Costco is EFI certified. But that's not to say everything, you should buy everything from Costco, unless you have a walk-in freezer, which most of us do not have at our home. So for example, the bread, those bread packages, they do sell an organic brand that I like. I think it's Dave's, for example, the one that we have here. But it comes in a package, really long packages of two. And there's no possible way that my family will eat that. And I also don't necessarily like the way bread freezes, like, or the way it tastes when you take it out of the freezer. If you know that about yourself and you're not going to eat bread that's come out of the freezer, then you want to just skip that. I don't buy bulk unless, you know, if you go into it with friends to say, hey, I'm going to go to buy some bread. Do you want to split it with me? In the package that they have at Costco, I think you would need four people to split it unless you just eat lots of bread. So things like, you just have to know what makes sense for you. Now, things like beans and rice and flour, those things make sense to buy bulk. I buy, you know, and that also brings down the price. So for example, my rice, I love Lotus Foods because they do so much in the world to support less water use. When you buy one small bag of Lotus rice, it's kind of pricey. But if you, and I'm still willing to do that because I know the story that's attached to that rice. But if you buy it in big bags, like 20-pound bags of Lotus Foods, suddenly that price difference starts to disappear. So in those cases, it makes sense to buy bulk, and I have space for it. And so know what you have space for. So like Alana, you had mentioned to me another time how you and some friends had gone in together to buy some meat directly from a regenerative farm, a ranch, right? And I love that. I would love to do that, except I don't have any place to put that much in my freezer. There's just not the real estate there. So you know what you like, what you eat a lot of, and really start to reflect, does it make sense for this particular product? You mentioned with the spring mix, they sell huge boxes of lettuce, but if that's something that you'll finish within 5 days, then it makes a lot of sense in terms of the money that you're saving. But it doesn't make sense if it's money that you're throwing. You're throwing it away because you're not eating it fast enough. And do you have the space in your refrigerator? It depends on how you're eating, what you're eating, how big a refrigerator do you have? Do you have the space for it? Do you have relationships, or can you start to build relationships with friends to start buying things in bulk together and creating some systems around that? I know I've had friends who've done that in the past. I think that's a great idea as well. Alana, you want to share the story, what you did with the meat?
Yeah, it was actually really pretty easy. I used to live on the Eastern Shore. It's a small little community. They have an amazing organic farmers market, and they have a beef supplier that comes from Western Maryland, so closer to Pennsylvania area. And so what you can do is you can buy half, a whole half or quarter of a cow, and it comes already packaged as hamburgers or steaks or, you know, round of eye or whatever. And then they package it up, and you have to be able to pick it up, like with bring your cooler, they'll fill the cooler up and you take it home and freeze it. And so what we did was we all chipped in together so that we could split what we want. If some families love the ribs and other families just want hamburger and ground beef. And so we just split it four ways. And that way, I mean, you know, you have to have a deep freezer. So it does cut down on waste, and you know, you have enough to last you a year, probably longer. And it's a great way to support local farms, local producers, mm-hmm. but also it's a sustainable way to also stop going to the grocery store so much. Stop making a grocery run as often. And when you cut down on your grocery store runs, you also cut down on your food waste because you're not tempted to be like, oh, well, I'm not sure if I have this, or I'll just grab this too.
Right. That's why you need to walk in with a shopping list every time. You have to
and discipline
in with a shopping list. Yeah.
And discipline. So the list plus the discipline, because if you bring the list and get everything on the list plus 10 other things, then you didn't save the money and you might not have saved the food or prevented the food waste that you want to.
I really like the idea of supporting directly a regenerative farm. For example, a farm that's doing holistic management, which I've talked about in a past episode, and how they raise those animals, their growing well-being, especially when it comes to meat that has the most impact on the environment, either good or bad, and mostly it's been bad, the way that meat is conventionally raised. My hesitation, one, is because I don't have the space. I don't have a second refrigerator or freezer for that. And I remember years back, and it wasn't sustainable meat. It was some door-to-door salesman that came and sold me all of this meat. And this was 15 years back. So I wasn't even thinking around organic at that time. But what I found is that we ate more meat. Because as it is, it's the way that most of us have grown up, where we think about, we plan our meal around the meat and not the vegetables. We have a tendency not to be as creative with our meal planning. And so if I open my freezer and I see all of this meat, I found we were eating more meat than we needed to eat. And especially if I'm trying to pull back and eat less meat because it's not good for my body or our bodies to have as much meat as we eat. I think the average American eats about 230 pounds of meat a year. 230 pounds. We don't need that much meat. So that's my hesitation around buying meat in bulk.
But if you have the discipline to know that this meat needs to last for, say, 12 months or whatever the time frame is, then buying bulk from a regenerative farm that you know is practicing really great methods, growing well-being, then buying meat in bulk would make sense for you because it would reduce the price of meat for sure.
Do we still have time for another question?
Sure. The question is going to be, what is your favorite low-waste meal to make?
Ooh, that's a good one. My favorite
in terms of
water usage, yeah, and
water footprint.
Well, so lower, it would be plants, right? Lower on the food chain. You know what I love to make, and it's so easy and just feels comfort, is calabacitas.
Okay.
So it's zucchini. So cutting up, especially in the summertime when zucchinis are in season and so are tomatoes and corn, you can use the frozen corn, the organic frozen corn. So all you do is just cut up the zucchini into quarters and saute, cook those up, and then put some corn in there and tomato sauce, and you could add cheese or you don't have to add cheese. I have a tendency not to add cheese. The way that traditionally it's served, there's just way too much cheese on it and you lose the fact that it is a vegetable. So it doesn't even need it, because if you're using garlic powder and salt, some fresh garlic is also good to put in there. But it's a full meal and it's delicious. And you just heat up some tortillas with it and you have calabaza tacos, or make some fresh beans on the side and you have the beans and the tortilla there. It just makes it great, yummy, and nutritious and low on the water. The water footprint is very low. And if you're buying the beans that are organic beans, I love, because they're nitrogen fixers. Legumes are one of the best plants we have on this planet. That's why there's so many health benefits for beans, because again, if it's good for the soil, it's good for our bodies. And beans is very good for the soil when it's organically. I love that question. Thank you.
I love that recipe. We're going to have to find one to put in the show notes.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes. Yeah. We'll find calabacitas for sure.
Yeah.
So this was great. I hope it encouraged you to think of your own questions and send them in to info@eatlesswater.com. And we'll just keep this space open for questions. The last episode of every month, have Alana on, and because Alana has some great ideas as well.
Thank you, Alana, for joining me. And thank you for joining me here every Monday and Wednesday. Be sure to leave your reviews and comments and to share this with others who you think would, who are ready and wanting some good action tips to live more sustainably in their daily round. Remember, there is power in the collective. Be well. Let's stay connected. Sign up for my newsletter and receive more tips in your inbox weekly and 15% off your first purchase at the Eat Less Water Shop. You can also find me on your favorite social media space at Eat Less Water. Please remember to hit subscribe and leave a review, even if it's only the star rating, because every one of them will increase the chances of other like-minded folks to find us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to eat less water. Together, we will write the story of well-being for this planet we have the privilege to call home. Meet you back here every Monday and Wednesday. There is power in the collective.